And greetings, friends around the world. This is the season for Easter observance. But why are millions of professing Christians observing Easter? Don't they know that the Bible condemns this kind of observance? Don't they know that Christ did not rise Easter Sunday morning or any other Sunday morning? Millions have been deceived. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world.
This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith explains why Easter is pagan. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, do you realize that Easter observance involves a denial of Christ as the Messiah? Shocking, yes, but it's true. Are you personally willing to learn what your Bible really says? People are always saying, I just believe the Bible. But do they really? Do you? Turn with me to Revelation 12 in your Bible. Go get your Bible. Follow me especially in this program. Check up on me. Prove these things out of your own Bible. Turn to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Satan deceives the whole world, not part of the world. The vast majority of the world are obviously deceived by this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. This world is ruled and guided primarily by Satan the devil. God has given Satan 6,000 years to deceive this world, and that 6,000 years is almost at an end. Satan is the arch deceiver. Satan does not present himself with horns and a pitchfork and come up to you and announce, I'm Satan and I'm here to deceive you. Of course not, my friends. That approach would deceive nobody. Rather, Satan comes as an angel of light. Very carefully. He uses very charismatic individuals often to teach people and to deceive them. And he has clever counterfeits of God's teaching and counterfeits of God's great plan. And that's something you need to start thinking about. So now Satan has millions of professing Christians out bowing down toward the east at this Easter season. They're like the ancient pagans who did the same thing. And their little children are hunting Easter eggs as though Easter eggs had something to do with Christ. Think about it. Yet all those practices are a direct duplicate of the ancient pagans as they worship the sun and the goddess of fertility, symbolized by the eggs. Eggs symbolize the ovum. That's what they do, and the historians know that. It was a matter of a sex cult that started this whole thing called Easter. The apostles and the early first century Christian church never observed Easter. They never observed a Friday to Sunday tradition where Christ was supposedly killed on Good Friday and rose Sunday morning. Rather, they observed the Passover, if you read your Bible, not Easter. Notice this historic observation by the Encyclopedia Britannica. There is no indication of the observance of the Easter festival in the New Testament or in the writings of the Apostolic Fathers. The name Easter is a survival of the old Teutonic mythology derived from Uster or Ostara, the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring. Why observe this pagan festival, which was grafted into a professing Christianity during the Dark Ages? Properly called, I think, the Dark Ages. But it's fun, some may say. Isn't it a nice tradition, even though it admittedly comes from paganism and was used to worship false gods? Again, what does the Bible actually say? Will you, my friends, think about this. Will you let the Bible be the authority in what you believe and what you do? Will you personally try to live by every word of God as Jesus Christ tells us to do? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12, Deuteronomy 12 beginning in verse 29. when the eternal your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will also do likewise. They used to have the ancient Saturnalia and Brumalia, and wasn't that exciting? God says, verse 31, you shall not worship the Eternal your God in that way, for every abomination to the Eternal which he hates have they done to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. Does God command you to observe Easter in the Bible? No, Easter is not even mentioned in any correct translation. The old King James mentions it once. We'll come to that pretty soon, but all the scholars acknowledge it was a mistranslation. Easter is never mentioned. You're never commanded to keep the day of Christ's resurrection. Not one word about that. But many words in the Old and New Testament tell you to observe the Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles that comes in the autumn, and Christ and the apostles and the early church did do that. You and I are to learn to worship God in the way He tells us to, not following the traditions of men. Notice Matthew now, chapter 15, verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Jews had a tradition of just washing real vigorously every time they'd eat a snack, just an apple, anything. They were really clean on the outside, but as Jesus said, they were often dirty on the inside. The attitude of heart and being willing to really do what God said. Jesus said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother. He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple. In other words, the extra help you might give an aged parent, that, well, we'll just give that to the temple. That was so the Pharisees could get hold of it, I guess, or the Sadducees. He's released from honoring his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, this people draws near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You can worship Jesus Christ in vain. No purpose in it at all, no good, because you'd be keeping the traditions of men. And that's exactly what so many Christians are doing, or professing Christians, when they have these false holidays, days that were never commanded by God, ancient pagan days grafted into Christianity, so-called. Many churchgoers will protest, but Christ was resurrected on Easter Sunday morning, and so we should honor him by observing this day. No way! Christ was not resurrected, my friends, on any Sunday morning or any morning. And I'm going to show you that the observance of Easter directly contradicts the major identifying sign of Christ's Messiahship. How so? Matthew chapter 12 and beginning verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered Christ, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. They wanted a sign to show that Jesus was the Messiah. And he answered, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So Christ would be in the grave, as Jonah was in the belly, a symbolic grave, of the belly of the great fish. What is 3 days and 3 nights? As I said, these days began, frankly, at Wednesday evening, because Christ was crucified in that year on a Wednesday morning, died on a Wednesday afternoon, and all scholars agree he was buried just at sunset, because the Sabbath was drawing on. But it was an annual Sabbath, and that annual Sabbath was on Thursday, beginning Wednesday evening at sunset. So from Wednesday evening, sunset, to Thursday sunset is one full day. From Thursday evening sunset to Friday evening sunset is two full days. And from Friday sunset until Saturday evening sunset is three full days and three full nights. And he was resurrected Saturday evening, just at sunset, at the end of God's Sabbath. And when the women came early Sunday morning while it was yet dark, he was not there. And the angel said, he is risen. Not that he is rising, he is risen. This exact period of time, 3 days and three nights, is set forth by Christ himself as a major proof that he is the true Messiah. Are you personally willing to face this fact? My friend, you say that you believe the Bible. Then believe this absolutely vital teaching from your own Bible, the sign of Jesus, 3 days and three nights. It completely obliterates the Friday, Easter, Sunday morning tradition, as you can easily see. For genuine Christians will want to do what the Bible says. In Luke 4 and verse 4, we read that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's what we've got to do. And if you want to be in God's kingdom, that's what you need to do. And God tells us in the Bible to observe his holy days, not pagan days. At this point, my friends, I invite you to write for our extremely helpful and truly powerful booklet entitled, The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. This booklet will clearly explain the annual holy days which Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the early Christians observed. This booklet, The Holy Days, God's Master Plan, will help you truly understand the great master plan which the Creator is working out here on earth among humankind.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World magazine. Call now.
Now back to our topic on Easter. Notice again, my friends, Matthew 12, and let's turn to verse 40. Jesus Christ here was giving the sign they asked for, and the sign, of course, that he was the Messiah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You can't fit 3 days and three nights between Friday evening and Sunday morning. There's no way. Christ's sign, of course, is very important. How clever it is of Satan to try to stamp out this vital sign by causing people to observe Easter, to observe something else, then they don't observe God's Passover. By causing them to do other things like that, they don't observe God's other festivals. One set of festivals picturing one kind of God replaces the true festivals which picture the true plan of God. Turn now to Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Not before 3 days, after 3 days. Mark 9, verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day. So one account says after 3 days, and the other account says the third day. These two accounts can agree only if this period is precisely 3 days and three nights, just as we read in Matthew 12, verse 40. It has to be a precise sign, and that's exactly what Christ did. He was 3 days and three nights in the grave, in the heart of the earth, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish that God had especially created. That's a dramatic sign, an exact period of time. It's important because God puts it that way, and that's the way we ought to understand it. Deuteronomy 12, don't inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I will do likewise. You shall not worship the eternal God in that way. You're not to come up and follow the pagans around you. You're not to follow pagan practices. He said in verse 32, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take from it. True Christians will want to do what God says and not reason around it all the time. Turn back, if you would, to Acts chapter 12 now. Acts 12, verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter at that point. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. Most of you have never heard of the days of unleavened bread. I grew up in a mainstream Protestant church. I never heard of it either. But it's in the Bible, all the way through the Bible, and in the New Testament as well, the days of unleavened bread come right after the Passover. So they were observing the days of unleavened bread, obviously. So when he had apprehended him, Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. After Passover. Now, my friends, if you have a King James Bible, look at it there. The King James translates it Easter, but that is a flagrant mistranslation. I'm reading from the New King James, which translates it Passover. The New International Version translates it Passover. The Revised Standard Version translates it Passover. All modern versions and all true scholars know the Greek word was Pascha. It was Passover. But the men translating the old King James thought, well, they got to get Easter in here somewhere. So they perverted that word and called it Easter. It does not belong there. It's Passover. And so the Passover was being kept, of course, by Peter and by the early New Testament church. And Luke comments on that in that way. They constantly kept the Passover in the days of unleavened bread during that period of time, as all scholars know, and most scholars admit that. Turn to Matthew 26 now, if you would. Matthew chapter 26, the very last part of Jesus' ministry when he was preparing to give his life for you and for me. Matthew 26, verse 17. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? So Christ was going to eat the Passover. He didn't keep Easter, but he kept the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And he said, go into a city to a certain man and say, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, my friends, before we go on, let me just comment to you. The Bible all the way through the New Testament says Christ was the light that came into the world. Christ set us an example that we should follow in his steps. Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Over and over, we're told to follow Christ's example. Here is his example. Modern Christianity often says, well, that was just for those old Jews. No, it wasn't. It was for everybody. And the Bible makes that very clear. Christ did it. We should do it. And then, verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body. This bread represented the very body of Christ, which would be broken. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood. This red wine symbolized Christ's red blood, which is to be shed the very next morning, later on in that day, because this was in the evening, and God counts days from sunset to sunset. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Our sins have to be forgiven. And the sins of many are going to have to be forgiven who keep right on worshiping on wrong days, false days that God never commanded. And by doing that, it distracts them and takes up their time and keeps them, in fact, from observing the days God commands. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Christ was going to drink it new. He said, when I drink it new with you. Jesus Christ kept the Passover here and all through his life, and he will keep it when he returns back to this earth. He will be there setting us the example and setting the human beings on earth during the millennium an example. Will you be there with him and his kingdom, one of the kings and priests, the true saints of God, helping him rule this earth and teach this earth God's ways, teaching them how to observe the Passover, teaching them how to observe the Feast of Tabernacles, which Christ is going to do, and I'll show you that. Will you obey him now and follow his inspired example in keeping the holy days which God Almighty commanded? Again, my friends, be sure to call or write and request your free copy of our eye-opening booklet entitled The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. Christ and the apostles taught this kind of Christianity, and this kind of Christianity, following the things that Jesus and the apostles did, is most necessary to prepare you to enter God's soon coming kingdom, to be a king or a priest with Jesus Christ, to help rule this earth, to teach them God's ways. So call now and request your copy of this vital booklet. It will open your eyes. The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. Just ask for the booklet on the Holy Days. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World Magazine. Call now.
My friends, turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In the first few verses, the Apostle Paul is explaining how they needed to put out of the church a young man who was committing incest, apparently with his stepmother, a terrible sin. Deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? The Passover pictures our acceptance of Christ's shed blood. Then the days of unleavened bread come right after that, and they picture the fact that leaven as a type of sin must be put out. So after we accept Christ's blood, after we're converted, we're to grow in grace and in knowledge and put sin completely out of our lives. He shows leaven represents sin. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It tends to spread. Your glorying is not good. He said, therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So Christ represents the Passover, and of course we're to keep the Passover, again, as a memorial of what Jesus Christ did. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We're not commanded to keep Easter, but we're commanded to keep the Passover, and we're commanded here to keep the days of unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread. You need to realize that Almighty God has given us 7 annual festivals. We will describe these thoroughly in this very important booklet I've been telling you about. But together, just giving you a brief explanation, they picture the complete master plan of our Father in heaven, the plan the great God is working out here below. Let me list and briefly explain the meaning of each of God's festivals as this booklet does. First in God's plan is the Passover. It pictures the acceptance of Jesus Christ's shed blood, the first step in being a Christian. And that's about all the steps most people take. They don't know anything else, frankly. But the Bible shows us where to go through these other steps and understand God's plan. Secondly, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That pictures the fact we're coming out of sin. We must grow in grace and in knowledge after our initial conversion. Thirdly, Pentecost, or as it is called in the Old Testament, the Feast of First Fruits. And that pictures the fact that all true Christians together in this age are just the first fruits. God is not trying to save everyone. We become the first fruits to God. Next, the Feast of Trumpets pictures Christ coming. As you read in Revelation 11 and verse 15, Christ comes at the last trump. And that pictures the alarm of war, the upset of world conditions as Christ returns to earth. Next is the Day of Atonement, which the Jews call Yom Kippur, a day of fasting, picturing the time after Christ's return when the whole world will finally become at one with God and Satan will be banished. Next is the Feast of Tabernacles, or in the Old Testament, the Feast of Ingathering. This pictures the time when all the people living during the millennium under the rule of Christ will have their minds opened, and there will be a great fall harvest of souls because they will understand. They'll be taught God's ways by Jesus Christ and the true saints of God who will be there to teach them the ways of God all during the coming millennium, the kingdom of God on earth. But what about the billions of people living right now and in past ages in places like China, India, all over the Orient, Africa, and elsewhere, who never heard about the truth, who never knew the truth, and millions in our land who frankly were blinded and never understood? They are going to have an opportunity, not a second chance, a first genuine chance to really understand. And that is pictured by the final festival of God, the last great day. These festivals will be kept by all humanity in the soon coming kingdom of God. Again, my friends, be sure to call or write and request your free copy of our eye-opening booklet entitled The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. This is a really eye-opening booklet. Christ and the apostles taught this kind of Christianity. And this kind of Christianity, following the things that Jesus and the apostles did, is most necessary to prepare you to enter God's soon coming kingdom, to be a king or a priest with Jesus Christ, to help rule this earth, to teach them God's ways. So call now and request your copy of this vital booklet. It will open your eyes. The Holy Days, God's Master Plan. Just ask for the booklet on the Holy Days and tune in every week to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events, and you will be given understanding of the exciting prophecies, detailed prophecies that most people do not understand at all, exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World magazine. Call now. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.